You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live all the way from the snowbound Falls Church, Virginia. And with me tonight are my guests, one of them from right here in the Northern Virginia area, and his name is Abdullah Palmer. Say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Very good. He said that just like a pro. And now somebody else, I want them to say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're going to have to be closer to the microphone.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, he said that like an Arab. Oh, he is an Arab. Now, this is my guest, Maher, all the way from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
you're forgetting it. This is the place. And we're having fun tonight. So if you're here, alhamdulillah, you're just in time. If you're not here, well, you won't know the difference anyway, will you? We thought we would. Okay, well, at least we're not bored. We're a little bit stir-crazy, but not bored. What we're going to, inshallah, talk about tonight is the subject of what it's like having been a Christian, and then what it's like coming into Islam, inshallah. And first of all, I'd like to give my guest, Abdullah, a little bit of chance to introduce himself. Tell us about yourself, where you're from originally, and, you know, some of your background in Christianity.
Well, my name is Abdullah Palmer. Originally, I'm from Cottontown, Tennessee.
Cottontown, Tennessee. Right, is that right? You all the way from down there
to Tennessee? Yes, sir. Well, my dad was in the Air Force, so I moved around quite a bit.
You're an Air Force branch?
Yes, sir. Actually, I was raised Methodist, but I ended up going to a non-denominational church, and I was studying to become a missionary in Christianity. I was the head of the campus region of my church, and I wanted to learn about Islam, so it helped me convert Muslims over to Christianity.
Hey, there's a plan.
That was a plan, but alhamdulillah, that's one of the ways I became Muslim. I just started researching about the religion and talking to a lot of Muslims.
Did you ever convert anybody over to Christianity?
Not a Muslim, no.
No, you never did, huh?
I still put atheists, but
a couple of Let me ask you a question. Since you've been a Muslim, have you helped anybody come over to Islam?
Yes, sir. About maybe four.
Four? All right. That's not so bad. When did you come to Islam?
I came to Islam on October 7th, 1998.
All right. Four years off. Well, there's a lot of born Muslims out there that can't say they've done that much in their whole life, so I'm pretty proud of you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what it translates to English, that if somebody comes to Islam by your hand, it's better for you than corn and noun. And this is meaning better than a herd of red camels. Have you heard of red camels? Never mind. Anyway, tell us more.
Well, from it's about what happened, meaning how I became a Muslim. Well, I did find some prophecies that talked about Muhammad.
Whoa, wait a minute. You're talking about in Christian literature, you found prophecies about Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Yes, sir. Came in the Bible. And but also just studying the Prophet himself, and studying how he lived, how he decided on things, and just the beauty of the religion itself helped me come to my decision. Actually, I know Islam was pretty much the truth probably a few months before I converted to Islam.
What was holding you back?
Well, just, you know, all my friends were Christian. Everybody who knew me was a Christian. I was kind of comfortable within Christianity. And
kind of like an old easy chair, just feels good.
Yep, just kind of like that.
Is that a Trinity expression? You say that.
Well, see, like I said, I moved around a lot, so
oh, yeah.
I go there around the summertime with my relatives, things like that. But studying all these things about Islam and being able to have a lot of good Muslim friends who were really patient with me, especially in the beginning. You know, I was really trying to pound them over the head with the Bible pretty much. Trying to get them to convert. And they were very patient with me, and unlike most people, they always had an answer for me. Even answers that, you know, I didn't have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just their being, and talking about the Prophet Muhammad.
All right, now let me ask you another question. You said you found prophecy in Christian literature. Was it in the Bible that you found something about Prophet Muhammad?
Yes, sir. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 21, it says in verse 7 that you're supposed to look out for two prophets to come.
Two prophets?
Yes, sir. One will be upon a chariot of donkeys, and one upon a chariot of camels. And we always tell you Christians, as Christians, you know, Jews, you rode the donkey to Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's actually mentioned, I think, in all four Gospels, isn't it?
Yes, sir. But then, so I was willing to move the prophet after him, you know.
Who was the camel rider?
Exactly.
Who was the camel jockey?
Yes, sir. And actually, in that chapter, starting verse 13, they start to talk about it. There's the apostasy of Battle Arabia. And they say the children of Kedar, the truth been out, and he'll be accepted by the children of Tema. Now,
okay, tell us what Kedar, what's Kedar mean?
Kedar was the second son of Ishmael.
Okay, Kedar is the second son of Ishmael. That would be, that would be the Arab?
And actually, Tema was another later son of Ishmael. And they settled around the northern portion where today is Medina.
That was called Yathrib, though, right?
And because he'll be chased out by the sword and the bent bow, him.
Bow.
Yes, sir.
Not him, bow.
No. Bent bow. Yeah, I got that mistake one time.
Yeah,
I did clear up on that. So he went up to the northern part, and they said, when you go there, give them bread and water, which is what he received from the Muslims there in Medina. And so within a year, the children of Kedar will be dashed and disgraced. And they mentioned the children of Kedar, famous bowmen, strong army. And as we know, within a year they had the Battle of Bidr. And they were disgraced at that.
So you said, when you say dense bow, you're talking about bow and arrow. And the people of Kedar, the Arabs who were the sons of Ishmael through, is that right? And these were the ones that were famous for the bent bow or the bows and arrows. And this is talking about people of Mecca, is that right? Would you say that was the Quraysh tribe themselves?
Yes, sir, I would.
Also, are you an expert on this? Are you guessing?
No, sir.
No, let's tell them everybody where it's at. It's in a book. You can read the book about the history of it. It's called Al-Rahikum of Tum. And it's an excellent book. In fact, it won first prize on the seer or the life story of the prophet of biology, Muhammad. If anybody would like to check that out, what he said is actually documented, in case you didn't know that, in the first part of the introduction to the book of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And you've been listening now to Islam from All. We are broadcasting live all the way here from Snowbound, Northern Virginia, in Falls Church, and I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain for the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, and the delegate to the United Nations for the World Summit for religious leaders. Of course, all of them won't fit on the business card, so they just call me the Sheikh. All right. And by the way, I'd like to give my guest a chance to say something about what's going on in he's going to speak to us in the Arabic language, and he's going to give us the greeting and tell us what's happening in Riyadh. This is Maher Al-Tibin.
Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Riyadh, alhamdulillah, bikhair.
How is Ramadan?
رمضان قضيناه ألف ما يكون وعيدنا الأيام هذه أيام عيد كل عام وكل خير.
السلام عليكم.
إن شاء الله تكون العيد الجاي تكون إيمانكم أقوى من الآن وإيماننا كذلك إن شاء الله معكم. السلام عليكم.
جزاك الله خير والسلام عليكم. He's saying that in Riyadh everything is good there, and he's also mentioning that كل عام وأنتم بخير, which means that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from everybody for the next year and so on. And Eid and Eid Mubarak, which is the blessings and of the month of the not Ramadan but Adha. Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Hajj and everything. So Alhamdulillah, Jalami. And while we're on the subject of guests, Alhamdulillah, I'm very pleased and proud to have a chance to have such dignified folks with me tonight. And I was talking earlier with Abdullah Palmer. Some of you have probably heard of him before because of his work in Islam, since he's come into Islam. We've had him speak in different places. And we're looking forward to have him actually come with us more often on our program here when we discuss issues of Christianity and Islam. And this is in an effort not to put down any religion or any believer in anything, but rather to just clarify and show some of the truth in a better light. One of the things I like to remind myself is that I never felt like that I left Christianity to become a Muslim, but rather I became a better Christian by following what Jesus Christ taught, which was to pray to one God and follow the commandments. And I feel that that's what I began doing, and then as I was being guided by Allah, I realized more and more that the best way to be like Christ or Christ-like is to do what Christ did. And I asked myself, what did he do? He prayed to God. So why don't I pray to the God that Christ prayed to and stop praying to Christ? And it was at that point in my life, that conjunction, when I turned the direction of my qibla away from pointing to a man who walked on the earth to the God who doesn't need to walk on the earth, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said to him, O God, guide me. And I found then that this is the prayer of all the Muslims, that they say every day, 17 times a day in their prayers and more. Ibdina Salatul Mustaqim. So may Allah guide, guard, and protect all of us and keep us on that Salat and keep us on that straight path. So you're listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live. And by the way, don't forget to visit us on the internet. We've got new websites coming out for the benefit of those who are not familiar with our work. We do have IslamTomorrow.com. We also have one called TodayIslam.com and a new one coming out, IslamYesterday.com, and another one, IslamAlways.com, and some exciting ones that I'm not going to tell you about tonight, but I'm going to encourage you to come back to this locale every weekend, or every night actually, and visit and hear all of the scholars of Islam talking about their various topics, and hopefully this will give you a chance to learn and share Islam much better. Another thing I would like to do is mention that we're going to be dividing our work up in the next few weeks. We have Zishan Bilal working with us. In fact, I see him online right now, Zishan B, that's him. Looks like 482, and he's been helping us along with some other brothers that in different parts of the world, alhamdulillah, and what they're doing and what he's doing is to put together distinct places for the kind of knowledge that you're seeking. If you want to research Islam, we're going to have one website for that. Share Islam, the Dawah, the books, the e-books, and so on, that'll be in another place. Then for discussions, that will be in another place where you can use message boards, and then have follow-up on that commentary, etc. And we're looking forward to get it built up. You should see how it looks. They've been showing me some of the samples that as we've been going along, and it's really exciting. So we want to encourage everybody to come back and be here, and then visit our other websites as well. And we're promoting all the good websites, and we're not just saying you have to come to ours. In fact, we want you to visit the other websites, especially Sheikh Muhammad Zayed Adli's website where you are now, here on adli.net, and this is definitely a great place to come and get knowledge live. And many of the times you'll come, you'll find Sister Layla is here, and she's constantly working hard to bring the real Islam to the people down easy where they can understand it and get the real picture of the straight Islam. Great talk from a straight lady, we always appreciate her coming for what she's doing. And alhamdulillah. Okay, let's go back now and talk with Abdullah Palmer again, and I want to ask him a couple of more questions about Christianity. And while we're doing this, why don't some of you type in your questions on the screen, and we're going to ask him to answer your questions. So go ahead and please restrict your questions to be on our subject that we're talking about tonight. Ask us about the subject of Christianity or something about coming to it, or if you'd like to ask about the Bible, any of that, we'll be watching the screen now. And I'm going to turn to him now, and I'm going to ask you, Abdullah, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam.
Would you please tell us that when you first saw the Quran, what was your first reaction? What did you think?
Well, first time I saw the Quran, of course, I read Al-Fatiha, and I loved it, you know, I have to admit that. When I read it, I really felt like I was reading something that I had been praying my whole life. You know, I wanted to make sure I go to heaven, and you know, I don't go to hell. So, you know, lead me in the straight path. It's the path of those whom you favor, and not the path of those whom you led astray. That was my first impression. My second impression was I had a concordance. So I checked all the prophecies that talked about Isa alayhi salam. And when I read that, I was very surprised, because I didn't even know that Muslims had, you know, any kind of knowledge of Jesus, peace be upon him, or even talked about him. And of course, I noticed the differences, but I noticed the similarities. But of course, it was a different concept. And at that time, I had my own frame of mind about what I thought about Isa and Islam. And that's what I listened to. The Rima Quran itself, one of the things I love is it comes in the first person the whole time. You know, it's not like when you read the Bible, a lot of times I read it, it's that God said such and such to so and so. Look at the Quran coming straight from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, now you said that when you read Fatiha, let's translate that for the benefit of those who may not be real familiar with Arabic language. Fatiha is means the opening, is that right? Okay, well, the opening is the first, what? Surah, what is surah?
Chapter of the Quran.
First chapter of the Quran. Has how many verses?
There's 7 verses.
7. Do you know all of them in Arabic language?
Yes, sir.
Can you recite them for us?
My Arabic isn't so good, but alhamdulillah, I'll do it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Excuse me. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Okay, here we're our first question we have tonight for you. It says, when you did Salah, okay, what is Salah? It means the worship, the established worship where we stand and we pray and bow and prostrate. When you did it the first time, did it make you feel different than when you prayed as a Christian?
Well, of course, when the brothers were teaching me Salah at first, how to pray, my prescribed prayers, it was different because knowing Christianity, what you do is you make a lot of dua. There's not really any kind of set form of prayer. I think the Catholics have something, but to me, there was nothing set. And to be able to stand there before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to recite from His words, to recite from the Quran, is something very special. Especially when you get a little bit more understanding of it. First time doing it, just Allah Akbar, saying it over and over. I didn't even know I was practicing at the time. But just you really, from the movement that you're prescribed to do, from praising Allah from standing, until you're bowing, and then going into prostration. Alhamdulillah, you know, it's a very humbling experience. And I think that's one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us make sure that we do it 5 times a day. And to make sure that we know that there's more important things in life. And why we're really here on this earth is to worship Him.
All right. Well, you've got another question here. They're asking you, what denomination were you? You answered
them,
maybe
right?
Tell us your denomination.
Well, I was with the Methodist, but then I switched over to the non-denominational church. The Church of Christ, not meaning the Church of Christ by everybody's faith, the different Church of Christ. And they merely try to stay non-denominational.
My wife, Felicity, is asking me the question this way. She also is in the Church of Christ. And she always talks about being a little Church of Christ. Where they wear the high neck and the long dresses and they're very prim and proper and all the rest of it, you know what I'm saying? So for her, I guess one of the biggest switch is to some of these really good churches that, you know, what is called like the church of what's happening now in barbecue. Well, let me ask you a question now. When you first anticipated the idea that you were going to consider Islam, and you thought about your relatives, your friends, and everything like that, did you anticipate that if you said something about becoming Muslim, you'd be running into a strong opposition from their side?
I didn't anticipate it. Now, for my parents themselves, I didn't run into that much opposition, mainly because my parents are not really that religious. Much anymore. They were very surprised. Matter of fact, my parents knew nothing whatsoever about Islam at the time. The first question they asked me was, do you still believe in God? Yeah, that's not really new, really. But from family members who also lived in North England, Islam, and just why it switched, mainly my family members from Tennessee, they were a little bit upset, and still are. So my sister was a little bit upset at me, so.
I can relate to that, and it happened to me as well. You know, when I went into Islam, the first person I was concerned about was my father. Like, I wanted him to, but he was the ordained minister, and he spent a lot of time preaching, and not a lot of time, but he would go to a lot of events. He belonged to the Full Gospel Movement and Fellowship. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not. The FGBMFI, it's very famous in the South, especially in the areas where the fellows like to get together and have a dinner together and a lunch, and then they afterwards have a talk. They usually have a talk first, food later. But I give a lot of those talks myself, and you see they were ready for me to wrap it up. Okay, great, Steve, sit down, we want to eat, you know. So I can relate to what you're saying, and I remember the look on one of my relatives' face, and they said, turn your back on Jesus, get out of my house. Did you have anything like that?
I have to turn my back on Jesus, people call me. Mainly from my church, though, the people I knew here in Northern Virginia, but also from my family. Sometimes it took a long time to get around, and plus the grapevine. And then, so when I went to Tennessee, they found out when I got there. That's when I was playing this thing.
I'm going to be for Tennessee, by the way. And to those of you who keep up with our schedule, I'll be leaving here, this coming Friday. I'll be in Wisconsin for a couple of days. Monday and Tuesday of the following week, I'll be in Houston. The next 2 days, I'll be in Austin. From there, we'll go into Memphis, Tennessee. So that'll be a week from next weekend, I'll be up in Memphis. So if any of you folks that are from that area want to show up over there, you're more than welcome. And just tell them you're my guest, and if they have any kind of a cover charge, tell them that you don't have to pay because you're my guest. And if they don't let you in, then, well, what can I say? I hope they'll let me in. So I got another question for you now. After you made the decision, you said, okay, that's it, I'm going into Islam, what happened next?
Well, I really didn't know. I was asking my friends, you know, so what do I do from now? And actually, when I wanted to convert to Islam, first thing I asked was, you know, how do I become a Muslim? And, I thought maybe it was like Christianity, a baptism, some kind of ceremony, something like that. I was very surprised with the Shahada. It was very simple and easy to come into.
You didn't have to put on a bathing suit or nothing.
No, sir. Nothing. It was haram.
Some of these cases, sir, you would have that.
When I became Muslim, it was just, there's a lot of people, you start out trying as a baby, you learn more and more. At first, sometimes it seems a little bit overwhelming, especially when I was learning how to pray. Muslims do it very easy now, but when you first go into movement, I gotta write this down, and I hope I remember it, things like that. it's easy come, easy go, and you learn by step.
Okay, well, alhamdulillah, I think you're right. We got a question here from Maher. Maher, they're asking, somebody wants to know said, how do you handle the difference between Saudi Arabia and the United States when you come here and you go there? It must be very different compared to there. He said the difference between water and ice. Actually, he told us earlier today, he's a little shy about using his English. He speaks good English, but he's a little bit shy. So I'll tell you what he told us earlier today. He said that when he came over here, he had no idea. He said, if I had known it was going to be like this, I probably wouldn't have come. But now that I'm here, I'm very happy because he would have never, ever seen something like this before. He'd only seen snow one time in an airport looking out a window. And now he's right here in the middle of getting to walk around in a blizzard today. And he said, out of all the places and countries he's ever visited, he never ever bought a camera in his life, but he bought a camera today and he took pictures. So he's got live pictures, and when he gets home, he'll be happy to share those with everybody until they're bored to death of seeing me and him. we got a good one. We went up on top of our building, right? We're on top of our building looking around, and one of the things we got to see and get a picture of is a picture of Abdullah Palmer flat on the ground after he slipped. Abdullah Palmer. Okay, we've got another question here. We have, Azam is asking, how much Arabic did you learn? Is this for Maher? How much Arabic did you learn? Oh, I think he said a little bit. I think this isn't for you.
Alhamdulillah, I'm in a class right now. It was my first semester of a place called the Mahad over here in Northern Virginia, Indiana. But for the most part, I haven't learned all that much. I have a lot of some religious terminology that I've learned, alhamdulillah. But inshallah, I'll be able to learn more.
You learned religious terminology? What does tarbiyah mean? Yeah, okay. Just giving you a hard time. How you blow them up. The education you give these kids as you raise them up.
Oh, okay.
Is that right? Tarbiyah? How you raise your children up? Teaching them, huh? Yeah. Maher said he doesn't know. This is the answer of a scholar. Allah Alam. Allah knows best. So I'm just now finding what he's like scholar now. He's saying Allah Alam, which is like So you're listening to Islam tomorrow. We're broadcasting almost live. Actually live, yes, that's right. We are live time, aren't we? Most of my programs we do, and we record them, broadcast them later, but this is a live broadcast all the way from the snow-drenched mountains of Northern Virginia. We're at Skyline, and we're on top of the biggest, tallest place and the biggest, tallest building, and we're broadcasting away just like we got good sense. Can't go anywhere, might as well, you can't dance, we're Muslim, so might as well broadcast, right? Yes, and with me tonight, reminding you that with me tonight is Abdullah Palmer, former Christian missionary wannabe, and now in Alhamdulillah, he's a surreal Muslim, and he's telling us about his experience as coming from Christianity over to Islam. Now let me ask you another question. When you were telling us about the fact that you were working toward the idea of being a missionary, did you plan on going to different countries and converting Muslims?
Yeah, that was the plan, and that's why I wanted to specifically focus on Islam. Because I always had something attracting me to it, even though I didn't know much about it. But I did learn it was a monotheistic religion, and I learned it was a huge religion with people all over the world. So it was something I wanted to focus on, going abroad.
What countries did you anticipate
that
you might visit?
Oh, really, I had no idea. Just out of sheer excitement, I thought maybe Egypt, so they have the pyramids and all that, and I knew that was mostly Muslim country, something like that.
Actually, you and I are a lot alike in that direction as well, because it turns out that the person who brought me to Islam was from Egypt. He was from Upper Egypt, what they call Sa'id. He was from Sa'id. And it's interesting because I wanted to go over there and do pretty much the same thing. I had idea. In fact, I was trying to convert him to become a Christian, and this was my goal. In fact, my father told me we're going to be doing business now with a man from Egypt. I said, oh, okay, great. That sounds fantastic. And he said, and this man is, from Cairo. I said, this is great. And he's a Muslim. I went, no way, Dad. They're terrorists. They're hijackers. They're kidnappers. No way. My dad insisted on meeting him. I'm going like, no, I don't think so. Dad insisted. I said, okay, we'll do it my way, though. I want to meet him on Sunday after I come from church, wearing my cap that said Jesus is Lord, carrying my Bible under my arm, and having my salib, my cross on me, and my wife, a born-again Christian, go up there. We're just going to tear this man apart. We're going to really, get this Muslim and show him what's what. Well, anyway, alhamdulillah, it turned out really good because the bottom line is after about 3 or 4 months of dialogue with him, I found him to be so sweet, kind, and as you use the same words, patient. He was so patient with me that after a while I realized I was being rude, crude, socially unacceptable, and I needed to tone down my story a lot, and alhamdulillah, I came to like him, and through him, I came to understand what's the real Islam. And I learned so much from him, and much of it still. I have to go back over my mind and remember things that he taught me and put them to work today, because he really gave me quite a lot on the plate, more than I could probably handle just in a short period of time. But this is amazing, this religion of Islam. It's very, very deep, very wide. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So let me ask you this, do you have any advice that you would give to people who are not Muslim, but they're looking at Islam and they're thinking, what the heck is this all about? What advice would you give a person, not Muslim, but not against Islam, just not really sure what to do next?
Well, the best advice I can give is just prayer. Make sure you go to God first and just ask for guidance. Just ask God to lead you on the right path and make sure you go to the correct way in your life. And that's basically what I did in the beginning. That's one of the things I saw how the Muslim prayed, and sometimes I made dua, as prostrating, and it really humbles you out. It really shows you your place. And that way you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the correct stance how to come to Him.
I know that's a fact, that I don't have to say I think you're right. I know you're right, because in my case, exactly that is what happened to me. When I realized that I saw a Catholic priest enter into Islam the night before I did, Catholic priest. And he studied Islam as a Catholic priest. They require that he had to know about Islam. And when he went with the Muslim to the masjid several times, he came back as a Muslim, and I was amazed. The next morning, I went out, and I found a piece of plywood out behind my dad's place, a big piece of plywood, and I just stood there on it thinking about it, and I pointed myself in the direction toward Qibla, toward Mecca, you know. And I put my head down on the ground, and I said, this is what I saw that Muslim guy do. Let me try that. And I put my head down. You know what I said? I'm good at talking, by the way. Yeah, maybe you figured that out by now. But I couldn't think of anything, no big prayer. All I said was, oh God, if you're there, guide me. And nothing else came on my mind. Nothing else happened. And then I raised up my head and I looked around. I didn't see any, like magic signs. I didn't see butterflies everywhere or rainbows or, fairies coming down or angels playing harps. It was just a cloudy day in Texas, but inside of me, I could see that there was a person that needed to make changes. I needed to deal with reality. I needed to be honest, straightforward, square shooter, and get rid of some of the bias and prejudice and look a little deeper into the things that were around me and not be so opinionated, Slowly, slowly, that was how the guidance came, and then I realized that Islam is right. Because Islam only means surrender, submission, obedience, sincerity, and peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever surrenders to Allah and obeys His commandments, then they have already begun the right way. If they've done it in sincerity, then this is what more could it be asked for? And then they do it in peace, and then that is Islam. They have done what it says in the Bible, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then that's in fact all Islam really is. So Islam is the action, it's what you do, and so that's what we're asking Allah to put all of us on that. And let us be of those people who surrender to Him, submit to Him on His terms, obey His commandments, and do it sincerely. We talked about sincerity in our last program. And I kind of got scared in that one because I know my sincerity gets whacked out from time to time. And so I really needed to remind myself last week about this subject. And I hope, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the God Almighty of all the universe, will make all of us sincere and keep us straightforward on this deen, this way of life we call Islam. And I hope, inshallah, that He will always keep us in the real peace, the real true peace, the salam. And so in that, we can go ahead and say Salaam Alaikum, close out our program. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. Our guests with us tonight have been Maher, all the way from Saudi Arabia, Atibi, who's a dear friend of mine, and actually was one of my hosts when I was over there in Riyadh last time. We asked Allah to make everything easy for him while he's here, getting home safely, and hopefully no snow on the ground when he gets to Riyadh. My other guest with me, Abdullah Palmer, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and his family, to keep him strong in Islam, and alhamdulillah, to bring him back on our program again from time to time. Maybe perhaps you'll read for us sometime, tell us, give us some things from the perspective of Christianity and Islam, what some of the common denominators are. I think that's something interesting to everybody. And for all of you that have been listening so patiently and put up with the computer crashes and all things we've had tonight, I want to share something, a little surprise. Sister Layla and I have been talking about some upcoming programs. We jumped about contests, not like the one you did tonight, a little bit different, because what we're going to do, inshallah, we're going to work out the bugs and this thing and have a project where you can actually come to and enter in your, on the web, and you enter in your answers to questions and win prizes, and we're going to actually send prizes to you. So, yeah, for real, not a joke. We talked about it. We want to do that, and we've got some new stuff that we're going to be talking about doing. It's not going to cost you any money. We would like for everybody to go out and get some more members, though, so this thing will be more fruitful for everybody. We'd like for each one of you to go out now, and I'm closing out my program and reminding you to go out here and round up at least 3 people each week to bring them to this website. Now, that means you might have to talk to 30 to get 3, but go out there and spend a little bit of time in promoting this thing, and don't be bahil, don't be stingy, but go out and call other people to this so that they can enjoy it too. This is a great way to spend the evening on Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at 7. As we say, the same old 6 and 7 here with Sheikh Yusuf and friends. And we'll be here live or almost live every Saturday and every Sunday. And thank you so much to our sister Layla for what she's doing. The Prophet ﷺ told us, whoever doesn't thank the people, he doesn't thank Allah. So thank you, sister. And thank all of you that are working so hard to make this thing happen. And thank all of you for coming and being here. And certainly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, who Allah did ja'alana Muslimin. We thank the one who made us Muslims. And Alhamdulillah, and Alhamdulillah, and Alhamdulillah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. We ask Allah to forgive us for any mistakes we made. Any good was from Allah, any mistakes were from myself. Alhamdulillah. And we also say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhaban nar. We ask Allah for the good of this life, the good of the next life, and save us from the punishment of this fire. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.